Last month we opened a discussion about the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And you may remember that last month we answered part of that question by looking at the fact that God ordained that Jesus die on the cross. And we just looked at various different things in the Bible that talked about how God sent Jesus to the earth, and that it was Jesus' will to do this as well, and that the prophets predicted it, and a lot of things along those lines. And there's many answers to this question, why did Jesus die on the cross, in the Bible? And this morning, we're going to pursue that a little bit further. The cross of Christ is our theme for this year. We're going to be looking at lessons on the cross and thinking about Jesus and the cross. Our gospel meeting is going to be taking up that theme here in a few weeks. In fact, at the end of March, March the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th is our gospel meeting time for the spring. And it is set. And I hope that you will be making your plans to be with us for that meaning effort and thinking about the message, the cross of Christ, during that gospel meeting. And we're going to have some flyers available, I hope this week. I checked with the printer just this past Friday, and she said that they were in the mail. And so we didn't quite get them this past week, but hopefully we'll get them this coming week, and we'll have them available for you so that you can take those home with you, put them up on your refrigerator, put them in places of business, wherever you can. But we're going to be focusing on the cross of Christ. Brother Mike Bonner is going to be doing our preaching for this meeting, and he does a fantastic job. You will be very pleased to hear him speak on this topic. But more importantly, God will be pleased because we are talking about His Son, Jesus, and the work that He did to bring salvation to our life. So this morning we're going to continue to look at this question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And our text is 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 1 through 8 this morning. And the Apostle Paul writes this. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, God's wisdom is often hidden from men, and we've got to go to the Word of God in order to find the wisdom of God. God's wisdom is difficult sometimes for us to see because of the sin that is in our own life that is blinding us to the truth that God is trying to help us to understand each and every day. And this was also the case in regard to Jesus and who He was. The rulers of this world had no idea that Jesus was really who He claimed to be. They thought He was just another upstart pretender seeking fame and fortune, and He was going to bring down upon the Jewish nation the Roman army, and thus they would be destroyed and lose everything. And so they took Jesus and they crucified Him. Why did Jesus die on the cross? The first answer to this question this morning is Jewish leaders put Jesus on the cross. When we think about the relationship that Jesus had with the people, it was a pretty good relationship by and large. There were many followers of Jesus in that last week, but then at one point Jesus got very serious with them, and a lot of them turned off from following Him because they could not handle the truth that Jesus was seeking them to adopt. They could not handle changing their lives in order to follow Him. And so many left Jesus. John discusses that in John chapter 6 at the end of the chapter. It says that when they heard this saying of Jesus, many left Him and followed Him no longer. And Jesus even turned to His own disciples at that point and said, "Are you going to leave me also?" And Peter, to his credit, at least upon that occasion, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have known that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Peter really did confess Jesus. And when we think about those who left Jesus, though, there were many. And the leaders wanted people to leave Jesus. In fact, they fought for just that. In John chapter 11, in verses 47 and 48, we read, "Then the chief priests and the Pharisees," the chief priests and the Pharisees, these were the leaders of the people, "they gathered a council and they said, 'What shall we do? For this man works many signs.'" And they were referring specifically to the sign of raising Lazarus from the dead. "If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." You see, that's what the chief priests and the Pharisees were concerned about. The Romans coming in and taking away their place. What was their place? Well, they were the leaders, you see. They were in power. They had authority. That was their place. And nation. Of course, a leader can't have authority and power unless he has people over which to have that power. And they were fearful that the Romans were going to come in and take away their place and their nation because of Jesus. And so Matthew 26 and verse 59 says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put Him to death." And so they wanted to end the threat that they perceived Jesus as being, even though Jesus was innocent, even though He was harmless, even though He had never done a single thing to cause them to suspect that He was going to create political insurrection, they nevertheless suspected Him of that, and they were going to put an end to it by putting Him to death. So all the council sought false testimony against Jesus. Then, and this is at Jesus' trial, the high priest tore His clothes. So the high priest was even involved in this. And he said, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard His blasphemy. What do you think?" And so the council there, they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they wanted to put Jesus to death. And so likewise, the chief priest also, after Jesus had been crucified, the chief priests, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He is the King of Israel, let Him come down now from the cross, and we will believe Him." Matthew 27, 41 and 42. So the chief priests and the rulers, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of these leaders of the Jews, you see, they were instrumental in putting Jesus to death. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because the Jewish leaders put Jesus on the cross. But it wasn't just the Jewish leaders who put Jesus on the cross. You see, the Jewish people also put Jesus on the cross. In John 11 and verses 49 and 50, there, as they were taking counsel against Jesus, it says that one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for one man that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now, John saw a double meaning in this. Of course, when Caiaphas was saying this, he was probably thinking as a human, he was probably thinking, well, Jesus needs to die so that the Romans won't come in here and destroy our nation, is what he was probably thinking. We know that that's what they were thinking in other places in John 11, 47, 48. But John, when he saw that statement, he realized that God was actually using Caiaphas to prophesy that Jesus was going to die for the people so that they could be saved. And that was something, you see, Caiaphas wasn't considering. You know, even the prophets didn't understand all the things that they said every time they prophesied. And since Caiaphas was high priest, John says, and this is John chapter 11, verses 51 and following, God used him to prophesy that Jesus was going to save the nation and save it in a way that they didn't think it was going to be saved. And so the Jewish people were needed to be saved, and that was one of the reasons why that Jesus went to the cross. Now look at Matthew chapter 27, verses 20 through 23. Matthew chapter 27 and verses 20 through 23, and we'll see that the people here were instrumental also in putting Jesus on the cross. You may remember that as Jesus had been taken to Pilate and that he was presented before the people, that we see that the Jewish leaders stirred them up against Jesus. Matthew 27, starting in verse 20. Now this is what we read. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. And so when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Now look at verse 25. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And so the Jewish people delivered Jesus to be crucified according to what Matthew says here. Now Matthew was a Jew himself. And so he wrote these things about his own people, that they wanted to crucify Jesus. And so it wasn't just the Jewish leaders that put Jesus on the cross, but it was also the Jewish people. But it wasn't just the Jewish people that put Jesus on the cross. It was also the Romans. You see, the Romans put Jesus on the cross as well. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 1 and following, we see that the chief priests and scribes and the high priest, they were all instrumental in bringing Jesus to Pilate. Mark chapter 15 and verse 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked of him, are you the king of the Jews? He answered and said to him, it is as you say. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you. But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now we just read in Matthew 27 how that Pilate said, I wash my hands of this matter. But you see, Pilate was supposed to do justice for the Roman people. He wasn't there in the governorship of Judea in order to placate the Jewish people. In fact, if the Roman emperor had wanted to placate the Jewish people, he wouldn't have had a governor there in Judea at all. And Pilate wouldn't have been in Jerusalem at all. No, he wasn't there to placate the Jewish people, but that's exactly what he did here. He was there to do what was right, to uphold what was right. As a governor, he was charged to do that. And as a judge, he was supposed to excuse and exonerate the innocent, even if a mob came against him. to accuse him and to put him to death. But Pilate didn't do those things. He washed his hands. Well, in washing his hands, he did not excuse himself from this matter. In fact, he simply made himself more guilty by virtue of the fact that he didn't stand up for what was right when he did that. So Pilate put Jesus on the cross. Look at Mark 15 and verse 15 here in this same context. It says, so Pilate, listen to it now, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. So Pilate was responsible. Even though he washed his hands and claimed, I'm not responsible, Pilate was responsible. He wanted to gratify the crowd. He wanted to placate the people. And because of that, he delivered Jesus to be scourged and to be crucified. The Roman soldiers wouldn't have done it without Pilate's order. And so Pilate had to order them to do just that. Turn over to John 19 in verses 12 through 16 for just a moment. John 19 in verses 12 through 16 here, also talking about Pilate delivering Jesus up to be crucified. Starting in verse 12 of John 19. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day, the Passover, in about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he, that is Pilate, delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. You see, Pilate was guilty just as much as the Jewish leaders, just as much as the Jewish people. But Pilate wasn't only the only one guilty. The Roman soldiers were also guilty of putting Jesus on the cross. Turn back to Matthew chapter 27 and verses 27 through 31. Matthew 27 and verses 27 through 31. Now the Roman soldier was in an army, and the army was supposed to do what the general said to do. But they were not supposed to take pleasure in what they did, but these Roman soldiers did. Notice what it says. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. The whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put on his own clothes, and led him away to be crucified. The Roman soldiers put Jesus on the cross. But it wasn't just Romans who put Jesus on the cross. Jesus' own disciples put him on the cross. And who are we thinking about when we're thinking about Jesus' own disciples? We're thinking about one man by the name of Judas Iscariot. John says that Judas was a trusted disciple of Jesus. He was so trusted, in fact, that he was permitted by Jesus to keep the purse for the group. The money bag that they had. The money box. He was the one who was entrusted to carry it around, according to John chapter 12 and verse 6. But we read in Mark 14 in verses 10 through 11, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. One of Jesus' own disciples put Jesus on the cross by betraying him to the chief priests. In Luke 22, 47 through 48, it says, and while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Using a symbol of love and affection that was so dear to many people in that day as a sign so that the chief priest's men, the guards who came for Jesus, would know who Jesus was. And yes, even Jesus' own disciple put Jesus on the cross. But it wasn't just Judas Iscariot who put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just the Jewish leaders. It wasn't just the Jewish people. It wasn't just the Romans. It wasn't just Judas Iscariot, Jesus' own disciple. But you see, it was everyone. Everyone put Jesus on the cross. In John 11, in verses 51 and 52, we see John's divine commentary on Caiaphas' prophecy that we noted a few moments ago. And John says this, now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. You see, it wasn't just for the Jews that Jesus died. He died for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in that same context, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Yes, you see, it was everyone who put Jesus on the cross. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And we turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. And we see exactly what God planned for Jesus in saving mankind from their sins. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and a root as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is dumb or silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he, that is the Lord, shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, who himself bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. It wasn't just the Jewish leaders who put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just the Jewish people who put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just Pilate who put Jesus on the cross, or the Roman soldiers who put Jesus on the cross, or the Romans of that day. It wasn't just Judas Iscariot who put Jesus on the cross, or Peter who denied him and thereby consented to putting Jesus on the cross. No, all of us put Jesus on the cross because Jesus died for our sins. And what are we going to do about that? Peter says that we, having died to sins, should live for righteousness. Oh yes. God had a plan. God had a purpose. He didn't put Jesus on the cross for no reason. It was so that we could live for Him. And would you live for Jesus today by giving your life to Him this very hour, recognizing that He went to that cross not just for those people, but for you personally and individually, so that you could be forgiven of your sins and live for Him. What do we need to do to be forgiven? Hear His word and believe it. Repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And if you need to do that this morning, then we stand ready to help you while together we stand and while we sing.